This week's parasha is parasha's Va'era, and we are taught in the parasha. We learn in the parasha about the makos. The bulk of the makos are in this week's parasha. Dam for there, kinim aro dever shchin, bara. 7 out of 10 of the makos are found in this week's parasha, and the makos are incredible. The makos are great for many reasons. The makos weren't only for Mitzrayim, but for many commentaries explaining the makos were primarily for Bnei Yisrael, that we should know that Hashem is involved with the world. And Ramban, at the end of next week's parasha, explains how when Hashem changes nature, He does so to show us His involvement in nature. Not necessarily for the world at large, but for us, that we should appreciate Hashem's hand in what's going on. The makos are extremely important. They're a very, very big part of the foundation of our emunah, is that Hashem not only created the world, but Hashem is in charge of the world. Hashem created nature. Hashem also could decide, whenever He wants to change nature, to flip nature. He flips up the switch, He can flip off the switch. Right? The water is usually water, but Hashem can make it blood. Frogs usually stay in their inhabitants. They usually go into the ovens, into the beds. But Hashem wants frogs to go into people's beds and to their ovens, etc., etc., etc. Very, very important, fundamental idea. So that's the case. I want to share with you, with that backdrop, a very, very tremendous insight that I saw last night in the Sefer called Borchi Nafshi, and he points it like this. We know that the first three makos, Moshe Rabbeinu did not bring about by himself. Aaron had to do it. The maka of dam, blood, tzvardeya, frogs, kinim, lice. Those first three were not done by Moshe, but rather by Aaron. Why? So Rashi comments, and Rashi says the following thing. How did Dam come about? Hashem told Moshe that someone would have to take their stick and put it over the Yam Suf, over the water. Same thing by Tzvardeya. It would involve a stick coming in contact with the water. Kinim, a stick hitting the ground. Says Rashi, in all these cases, it couldn't be that Moshe was going to be the one that was going to hit the water. You know why? Because Moshe was saved by water. Moshe was a little baby, maybe a day old, and his parents had no choice. They had to put him into a little boat, a little basket, and the basket was placed on the water, and the water saved Moshe's life. So Moshe can't hit the water. After all, that would be a lack of a karas hatov. Kinim. What's kinim? You have to hit the ground. Lice came out from the ground, from the earth. Moshe was saved by the ground. Why? He killed the Mitzri. He has to bury him somewhere. He buries him into the earth. And that saves Moshe Rabbeinu. That earth which saved Moshe Rabbeinu cannot be hit by Moshe Rabbeinu. That we all know. And we learn that from here, says of Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that Akaras HaTov, that gratitude doesn't only apply to human beings, but even to inanimate objects, even to water. What doesn't have life? Earth doesn't have life. But yet, the Torah teaches us that Hakaras HaTov goes so far even as to inanimate objects, even things that don't necessarily appreciate when you say thank you to them. That's true. That's famous. Listen to a nice chiddush that I saw last night. How long was Moshe in the water for? As a baby, in the basket. How long was he there for? A long time? Couldn't be long. He's put in the basket. The same day, what happens? He can't survive for a long time without any food and sustenance. He gets picked up by whom? Daughter of Paro. Yes, Paro, she comes. Moshe was saved for a tiny amount of time. How old was Moshe? He's one day old. How many years ago, how many years were there between Moshe's birth and the first Makkah? And the answer is, how many years? 80 years. 80 years. Moshe is 80 years old when the first Makkah happens. The Torah says in this special, Moshe is 80 years old. Aaron's 83. Moshe is 80. Unbelievable. 80 years later. He was a baby. He was there for how many minutes? Who knows? Not a long time. And what happens? It's Hakaras HaTov. How long did the sand, did the earth save Moshe for? One day. Because the next day, ready? The Mitzri says, you're going to kill me? The Jew says to Moshe, you're going to kill me like you killed the Mitzri yesterday? One day, the earth, quote unquote, saves Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, 80 years or whatever, less than 80 years. This time was, I don't know how old Moshe was. I'll tell you, it was 60 plus years earlier. And yet, Hakaras HaTov goes so far. But I'll tell you even more. What's even more remarkable about this is the following. Chevra. It's game time now. The Makos are beginning. Hashem is showing us that He's in charge of nature like we began. Let the games begin! No, we can't. The games can't begin. You know why? Because we have to show Hakaras HaTov. How could the games begin? How can Hashem show His greatness if it's going to be at the expense of Hakaras HaTov? What an amazing thought. Midos, Rabbi Osai, are even more important than Hashem. Hashem says, Midos are more important to me than you seeing my great hand in Mitzrayim. It's more important that I teach you a lesson for generations. That Midos, that Hakaras HaTov, is so imperative, is so chashuv, even to inanimate objects, even if it's supposed to show them at the time, even if you were a little baby and you didn't appreciate it then. But you know what? It's not about that. It's about us refining our midos. It's about us becoming great people through the Torah. There's a boy in our shir who's a little bit of a character. And oftentimes before shir in the morning, he asks me, Rebbe, why are we learning Torah today? Why are we learning Gemara today? And there's many answers that we've given throughout the course of the year. And there are many answers why we learn Gemara. One of my favorite answers to this question is, because learning Torah refines a person. Learning Torah makes a person into a better person. I can't tell you how Bora Mizgalgel and Poskin Biboseim and the sugars that we're doing now in Bava Kama Daf Vav Mebeis, how that exactly, what's the magic trick that the Gemara refines? I can't tell you. But sometimes you learn a Vart, you're like, wow, you see this, there's a refining component over here. The Torah is telling us, you know what's more important even than the Makos? What's more important than the Makos is Midos. What's more important than the Makos is that you refine your Midos, that you work on yourself, that you become a better person, a more refined person. And if it applies on both sides, to water, and if it applies to earth, well, let's make a simple kal v'chomer. How much more so does it apply to people? Let's talk about people first. People in our lives. When was the last time you called your parents and said, Mommy, Daddy, Mom, Dad, thank you. You know, I swiped the card today in Mea Sharim, and it worked. They didn't say, oh, declined. It worked. Baruch Hashem. Thank God. What? Did you text your mom? They probably got a text when you swiped the card, probably. They probably know when you swipe. You know what would be so nice? The next time they get a text, besides from the credit card company that says, yeah, you spent $50 and Manny's buying Sfarim and Tzitzis. Very nice. A second later, or even before that, they get a text from you saying, thanks, Mom, Dad. I just bought a new pair of Tzitzis. I just bought a new Sefer. I just bought a something for whatever. Thanks, Mom and Dad. You know what? They work very hard for their money. They work hard to send you to shiur. You know how much money it costs to come to Eretz Yisrael for the year? Thousands and thousands of dollars. Let alone the amount that you guys spend on your own. You swipe the card or just change cash. It's tons of money. That's not to be taken for granted. They work hard for their money. They can, instead of sending you to shiur, they can go on vacation. A nice vacation. They can go on a cruise. No. They want you to have the experience in Eretz Yisrael for the year. Your grandparents. Not only on Chanukah, when they send you Chanukah gelt, which is nice, always to get from grandparents, hopefully. But just them. Call them. Wish them a good Shabbos. Thank you for being such a wonderful grandparent. Thank you for all the love you showered upon me in my lifetime. People. Humans. You know, there's two guys that work outside in our kitchen here in Yeshiva. What their names are? Micha's one of them. He's the older. And there's a new guy named Rami. Not to be confused with our Rami, the keyboard guy from today. They come, you know, we're sitting in yeshiva, we're in shir, we're having a good time, we're learning, we're singing, we're going through geshmakatosos or whatever, whatnot. And they're outside, setting the table, cleaning the table, putting the food out for us. You like the food, you don't like the food, that's not the question. Someone's doing something for me. You know what? Before you leave, thank you, Rami, for cleaning up. Thank you, Micha, for taking care of us today. It's a small thing. I was driving last week, I think it was last Thursday, I was driving home from yeshiva in a cab. A yeshiva van. It was last Tuesday. That's the day you guys went to Yad Vashem, last Tuesday. And the cab driver says to me, we were schmoozing, he was busy, he was texting while he was driving, which made me very nervous, didn't like it. WhatsApping. He had this earpiece, and he kept hearing earpiece WhatsApp groups in his ears. And then he has a presses a button on his phone that he can actually record what he's saying. Also, while he's driving, I was like, this is making me very uncomfortable. I got to be honest. Okay. I said to him, buddy, you're doing mitzvahs all day long. It's not my idea. It's the Chafetz Chaim's idea. All you have to do is think about it. He said, no, I'm not. I'm doing mitzvahs. I said, yes, you are. He said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. I said, right now, I was in Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. I have to get home. You're doing me a chesed by bringing me home. He said, what do you mean? I'm getting paid. I said, so what? You're getting paid. I shouldn't thank you when I leave because you're getting paid. So the bus driver drives us. So you know what? On the way out, say thank you. He's getting paid. Who cares? He's getting paid. He's doing a chesed. And he's doing something for me. And therefore, you know what? Thank you. Thank you is in line. Hakaras HaTov is a golden midah. It's a precious midah. It's a midah which I think is so essential for so many reasons. I spoke about it a few weeks ago on Thanksgiving, but I can't get enough of it, so here it comes again. It's a midah which Rabbi Usai can literally separate the men from the boys, the refined from the not refined. Those that live with Hakaras HaTov and those that don't are in two different worlds. Grateful versus not yet fully grateful. This applies, like we mentioned, to our parents, grandparents, people that do two things for us, bus drivers, cleanup people. Those guys that clean up, Samuel. There's a Geret Tzedek. Okay. There's a Geret Tzedek in the dorms. What's his name? The Geret Tzedek?
Tobia.
The Geret Tzedek. You know, he cleans our rooms for us. He cleans the dorms for us. Whenever you say thank you to him, you get two mitzvahs. First of all, you get a karas do, which is midos mitzvah. And you also get the mitzvah of Ahavta Misager. Beautiful Jew. Decided to become part of our ranks. Beautiful person. Kol hakavod. Amazing. It's easy. It's easy. It doesn't cost us anything. And I'll end with this. Not only does it not cost anything, Rabbi Usai, I would maintain the following thing. Check in the world. It's not my chiddush, but it's true. Check in the world. The happiest people in the world are people who live with Hakaras HaTov. There's certainly a correlation between people that are Makir Tov, that are grateful, and the level of happiness they have in their life. People that are ungrateful are usually also unhappy. People that just take things for granted are always kvetching about this and kvetching about that. And they're never really fully happy with what they have in their life. And people that are grateful for what they have and appreciate the chesed that's done to them constantly are happy. Try it. If you're going through a patch in life where you're not feeling so happy for whatever reason, try just to flip it. You know what? Be thankful to your friends. Be thankful to your family. Not less important, be thankful to Hashem. Why do people have claims against God? You know why? Because oftentimes they focus on, how can Hashem do this to me? Where are you, God? And sometimes we forget to focus on the fact that Hashem, wow, I just took a deep breath and the air went where it was supposed to go into my lungs, and it gave my lungs exactly the air that they needed to allow me to breathe properly. Wow. Thank you, Hashem. I just ate and the nourishment went exactly where it was supposed to go, and the waste left my body in a healthy way. Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. I just went to sleep and I woke up in the morning. Mode ani lefanecha. Melechai v'kayam. Thank you, Hashem. If a person lives like that with Hashem, they're in Gan Eden their whole life. They're never going to be down. Down? How can I be down? I have so much to be thankful for. I'll close with this. Mama's close with this. I'm sorry. I have to stop in a second. I always mention, whenever I talk about Kirsten, I mentioned it last time, a few months ago, but I'll do it again now. It's been a few months already, a month and a half since Thanksgiving. My grandmother, Allah Shalom, my father's mother, was one of the most happy people I knew, and one of the most grateful people I know also. Always happy, always besimcha. I would call her for a boost. I would call, hi, Bubby. Hi, Andy, it's so nice to hear your voice. I'm not exaggerating. It's so good to hear your voice. I'll tell you one thing. That's amazing. She had four children, my grandmother. My father is the only son. She had three daughters. They should live and be well to 120 years. They all have this midah of Hakaras HaTov. They're always grateful and they're happy people. It's amazing. It was passed down. It's like in the genes, in the blood. They're grateful and they're happy. So Rabbi Usa, you know what we learned from this week's parasha? Moshe Rabbeinu was about the makos. Something came first. What came first? Hakara Satov. You know why? It's a golden midah. It's a midah which separates the men from the boys. It's a midah which refines a person. It's a midah which makes a person happy. It's such a chashuv midah. The Torah said, before I even do the makos, here comes Hakara Satov. So I give us all a bracha. We should be zoche to be people that live our lives with Hakara Satov. To see the good that we exist in our lives. To be thankful. And to express that Hakara Satov to all those that do good for us in our lives, and we will see a fringe benefit. The most important thing is that it'll make us better people. But a fringe benefit is that we will live our lives with a tremendous amount of simcha.